Christmas is here. Can we thank Josh? He's awesome, right? He's my muscle up here. All right, guys, stand with me as we read some scripture, some more scripture, as we begin to just prepare ourselves for Christmas and all that it means. So here's some scriptures for us this morning. In Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 13, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Have you ever been gripped with fear? The angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." That's Luke 1:11. How about Luke 1:28-31? The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord's with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus." In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David,'" here's our theme, "'do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" And here's a verse that just means so much to me. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind and sound thinking. This is from God. Not fear, but power, love, and sound thinking. These are from God. Father, we thank you for this morning, and God, we praise you for this day. And Lord, it's so wild. We woke up this morning, and it says December 1st. December 1st, Lord, where'd the year go? And what a crazy year, Lord, this has been. And Lord, we gather here this morning with expectation of Christmas coming. We thank you, Lord, as we enter this place. We pray that your spirit would fall upon our hearts. Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear. We pray for the Spirit of God to come upon us today. We ask, Lord, that you would touch our eyes, that we could see Jesus, and that you would touch our ears, that we could hear the voice of God in our lives, in our lives. We celebrate, Lord, the communion, and Jesus, what you've done on our behalf, and how you've taken away our sins, and you've made us holy in the sight of God. We're so grateful and thankful. So, Lord, we gather here this morning, and we praise you for this amazing time. In Jesus' mighty name, and all those who love Jesus would say, amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. It's good to be with you this morning. By the way, so if you would, these Blankets of Hope, this is great. So, you guys, the Orange County Rescue Mission is an amazing Christian ministry that's here in the city of Irvine. We love them dearly. We found out that there was 108 children that is at the Orange County Rescue Mission this year. And we thought it'd be really cool to make a blanket for each one of these kids with their name on it. And so we began this endeavor quite a while ago, and you probably saw a picture of my living room. That was my house, just filled with blankets. And it's cool that we found out each one of these kids, from babies, you know, young kids, and we're going to be giving them each a blanket for Christmas. And so for those of you that have been a part of making these, we want to give you a well done, O good and faithful servant, right, from all of us. So all that you are part of this, well done, right? There's a whole bunch of them that's going to be outside on the left. And when you go out today, would you just shoot up a prayer for them, for these little ones? You know, Father, we just commit to you these blankets. And Lord, we pray that as they're delivered, that these gifts are delivered, that somehow it would be communicated to each and every one of these children that you love them and they're precious in your sight and they are valuable. and that, God, you love them, you're with them. Lord, we pray, God, for these blankets and ask, God, that somehow the gospel of Jesus would be proclaimed in the giving of these blankets. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so this morning, by the way, the Bible says we're to enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and to enter his courts with praise. So I'm just wondering this morning, did you enter the doors of the church with thanksgiving? Have you been thinking about things that you're grateful and thankful for? And as we enter this place, we're giving him courts of praise. I don't know if you watch the news, but I hope you're grateful for 74-degree weather. Aren't you grateful that you're not driving in the snow right now or flying across the country? There's days where you just smile and just go. Yesterday, I went outside and I'm like, Lord, it's just a beautiful day, you know? And my family's all from New Jersey, so they have a different experience this morning. God bless them, right? Last Sunday was one of my favorite Sundays is our Sunday before Thanksgiving. If you were here last week, what an amazing service of really entering the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving and courts with praise as we talked about God's will for us to be people that are grateful and thankful. You heard testimonies of people just saying, God has been good in my life. And then we went out, and you can't do this in New Jersey either. We had In-N-Out Burger, so it was really fun, and we had a great thing. It was one of my favorite parts of the year. And so here we are again. You guys know today's December 1st, right? Has the year gone by fast or slow? Fast. Nobody said slow. Did you survive this year? Check. Right? Hey, guys. I don't know about, so as we're coming into the last month of the year, I'm reminded of the first month of the year. I remember in January of this year, I was talking with a brother of mine in Christ, and he told me, Pastor Frank, I'm dreading 2024. He says, I thought 2023 was bad with the wars in Ukraine and how the world's crazy. He says, I'm dreading 2024 because with Ukraine, we've got wars now in the Middle East. We have an election that's coming up in America this year. He says, as I look forward to 2024, I am dreading this year. And you know what? As he said it, there was a huge part of me that was nodding my head inside my heart. I was totally agreeing with him in my heart. And yet, as he told me this, and I was hearing him, something came over me, and I remember looking at him in the eye and saying, brother, this year is going to be a great year because God is on his throne this year, and God's going to do mighty things in the lives of people this year, and we're going to watch the sovereignty of God move this year. And I have to tell you, as I said it, I felt good. I feel like it ministered to me. Like, I just started, Frankie, that's how you're supposed to be. And I spoke truth, you know? And it was cool because, I don't know where it came from, but my brother nodded his head. He's like, you're right, Pastor Frank. But I was totally tracking with him. This was going to be a tough year. But are we supposed to fear anything, really? Fear. I'm afraid of this year. I get it. Do you know what combats fear for a child of God? Does anyone know what it is? Faith. 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 To be able to engage into our emotions, and that's what fear is, right? To engage in those emotions and say, I'm coming at this not, I don't want to give in to fear. I want to enter into this in faith. Faith. From that conversation with my brother, that's when I came up with the series. You know, I don't expect you to know this, but I know this. We began 2024 this year with a series on the armor of God, right? Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm in the evil day, right? And we began a whole series just walking through the armor of God. I wanted to combat that fear with faith, that we draw near to the Lord as children of God, right? And so we began that. Now, we've come through the year, right? Right? It's December 1st. I want to end the last series that we're going to do this year talking about fear again and looking at the amazing teachings of Christmas that we find in our Bibles. And in the amazing season of Jesus coming, if you really read your scriptures and notice that the whole first coming of Jesus was surrounded in fear. All the participants that were involved with the coming of Jesus were afraid, or they had to fight fear in their life. Have you ever been afraid? Are you afraid? Do you guys know that our DNA, our fallen DNA, is all about fear? I don't know if you've really studied this. This is a great Talbot Seminary, Dr. Anderson's class. When you look in Genesis and it shows how here we are, Adam and Eve, God made us male and female and perfect. And in the midst of our fall, we began experiencing all kinds of things that we as humans never had before, and a big chunk of it was fear. And it's irrational fear. I mean, there's fear of the Lord, which is good, but the fears that I'm talking about are these irrational fears that every human being has. Fear is in your fallen DNA. All of us struggle with fears. It's a part of who we are as a human being. And yet we read so often in the scriptures to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid. God seems to speak to us to not fear. You know who's good examples of this? Mary. There's a new series on Netflix called Mary. Have you guys seen it? Anthony Hopkins plays Herod the Great. I'm a little scared when Hollywood does anything on the Bible, but and I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going. Mary's biblical, the historical Mary, the real Mary, is an amazing woman of faith. Joseph's an amazing woman, a man of faith. Zechariah, the wise men. Dude, that was amazing for them just to say, we're following this star, the shepherds in the field to go and proclaim. This whole thing is surrounded. There's faith involved in the first Christmas. There's fear involved, and it's just the way it is. Now, here's the setting for the first Christmas. And if you've really spent the time to read this, you'll notice there's two sections, right? What's the old section called? Ah, not bad. What's the new section called? Okay, last book of the Old Testament. The last book of the Old Testament, before God goes silent. Between the Old and New Testament is 400 years of silence where God says, I'm done, I'm out. He punches out. But before he does that, he writes the book of Malachi. And in the book of Malachi, God blasts his people for their lack of faith in him and their attitude toward him. It's a book of God's grievances in many aspects. And after this, he says there's going to be no prophets, no miracles, no visions, no dreams. And God goes silent for 400 years. But here's the deal. God says in the last book of the Old Testament that a sign, an amazing sign from God is coming. And here it is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. So as God, just as he gets ready to go silent, he says this. He says, Malachi 3:1, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, God. Then suddenly the Lord who you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, so God goes silent, right? He goes, I'm going to send a messenger that's going to come before me. A messenger coming to prepare the way for who? God, right? Now in Isaiah 9:6 it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. The child will be called God in human flesh. People, God is coming as a man. A messenger will come and clear or prepare the way of the Lord, and this is the prophecy leading up to the first Christmas. So there you go. How's that? We good? And after 400 years, God begins to speak again. Zechariah is in the temple. His wife Elizabeth is to be pregnant, though she's old and has never had a child. And she's going to have a son, and his name's John. And is Zechariah afraid? Yes. Here comes the messenger. God begins to speak again. Mary, hail favored one. Holy Spirit is going to fall on you, and the prophecies of God coming to earth are going to happen literally through you, Mary. Is Mary afraid? Yes. Is Joseph afraid? Yes. Are the shepherds afraid? Yes. Are the wise men afraid? Yes. People, life is filled with fear. And especially when God calls us to do something, there's a whole new level of fear. Do I hear an amen? So the human condition is we as a species are a very fearful species. When you read the Bible, it comes from our fallen nature. It comes from the fall. And we fight these fears. And you know, to put on top of that, when God calls you to do something, there's even a level of spiritual fear of just obedience to God that just happens. So here's notes for us this morning. So I want you to take some notes from me this morning. Here's the first one. Write this down. When God asks us to do something, when God asks us to do something and step out of our comfort zone, we usually experience some kind of fear. Do I hear an amen? Just ask Mary. Just ask Joseph, right? That's your first note. It's just normal. It's normal. And if you want to add to that note, write down this one. Here's note number two. And this is just a great observation. The whole Christmas event is surrounded by God moving and his people being afraid of what he's asking them to do. That's just normal. Write that down. The whole Christmas event is surrounded by God moving, amen, and his people being afraid of what he's asking them to do. It's just normal. It's a part of who it is. Here's a great quiz for you. Do you know what's the most common command in the Bible? Fear not and do not be afraid. Do you know that that word, you'll find the word fear not or do not be afraid, some derivative of that, 365 times in your Bible? There's a fear not and a do not be afraid for every day that you walk in a year. That's God's command. Why do you think God says don't be afraid? Because we are. Because for the Christian, following Jesus, people, is an adventure that requires courage. Just ask Abraham, ask Moses, Joshua, David, Mary, Joseph. To follow Jesus requires courage. As a follower of Jesus, when God asks you to do something, there's times when you just go, ah, that's normal. And I want you to think about this. What are the things that God has asked you to do in following him that's been fearful in your life? I've been meditating on this week. You guys, I came to faith in Jesus in my early 20s. For me to say yes to Jesus was afraid. I was fearful. I remember as a total skeptic, not wanting this to be real, reading Jesus. My cousin Steve started sharing Christ with me, and my friend Steve, another Steve, and this guy named Dave gave me a Bible. And I was in a season in my life where I'm just like, Is there even a God, you know? And I was really depressed. I couldn't find purpose and meaning. I began reading Jesus, and I came to a place, the prophecy candles. He's real. Do you want to know what the most scariest thing is? is to say yes to Christ and give him the control of your life? Do you know Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, not do what I say? Good question. A big part of becoming a Christian is he becomes the king and you don't. He gets the throne of your life and you don't. He's the master and you're the student. You're the one learning from him. He's the rabbi. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it was so, there was a time I remember looking at this going, man, if I become a Christian, he's going to change my life. And I was abusing alcohol, drugs. I was a mess. And I remember sitting going, if I was to become a Christian, he's coming for me. And I've said this before, and it's so true. I remember thinking, if I was to give Jesus control of my life, could he possibly screw my life up any more than I already have? But there was fear in it. There was fear in saying yes to Christ. I remember when I was at Saddleback College. I'm a brand new Christian and a big smile. And this girl came up to me and she goes, you're a Christian, aren't you? And first time anyone ever asked me that before. And I was like, I remember looking at her and go, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? But I was fearful for a moment because I'm going to get labeled. I remember that. You know, I remember I was at Mission Hills Church on Alicia Parkway, and they put out a call that they needed people to help in the youth program, junior high program. And I went, I was fearful. I get fearful every time I come up here to talk with you. It's true. In 2007, they said, Pastor Frank, we want you to be the senior pastor of this church. And I told him, no. I said, let me just do this for 6 months and let me pray about it. I was afraid. How about you? Do you know that following Christ, whenever God asks you to do something, there's going to be an element of fear in it? There's a verse in the Bible that means a lot to me. And I want to, this is going to be our verse through this series that we're doing. Faith over fear at the first Christmas. I like that, 3 F's. That's good, Frank. I came up with that myself. I liked it. There's a verse in the Bible that means so much to me. And it's this verse. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And here it is. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Would you guys say that verse with me this morning? The count of three, you ready? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Okay, have it one more time. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. I pray that verse over me all the time. I don't know if you ever watch me. I'm over there, and I always pray for Frank. I put my right hand on my left shoulder, and I say, Lord, I want you to remind Frank this morning that you've not given him a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. I pray that verse over me all the time. This verse, fear, that's used in this text, the Greek word, it's only used once in the New Testament, and it literally means to run from the battle. The word fear in this verse, it's only found once in the New Testament, and in the Greek, the literal translation is to run from the battle. God has not given you or me a spirit to run from the battle. Does that make sense? It's not from God. God doesn't call you to wimp out. It's not of the Lord. It was so weird. I was thinking of this morning, and here's just a personal story. I'm a young Biola student at Biola. I've got an amazing friend of mine. We're roommates together, and we both are transfer students. And we were doing our last 2 years at Biola and our undergrad. And I met my lady that I was going to get married to, and he met his lady that he was going to get married to, and we were both engaged at the same times. And it was, I still remember this because it was in the midst of midterms, and it's pretty intense. And at Biola University, we have an amazing school called Rosemead School of Rosemead School of Psychology, and they have a Biola Counseling Center there. And they offer it up to all the Biola students, at least back then, where students could go in and get therapy and counseling, okay? So one day, I walked into our dorm, Emerson Upper Odd, 215, and my roommate's in a fetal position in the corner, weeping. And I'm like, Spence, he goes, don't turn on the light. I said, are you okay? He says, Frank, because I've been crying so much that I don't have any tears left in my tear ducts. See, Spence has been going to the Biola Counseling Center. So Spence grew up with he never met his biological father. He's had five fathers. He was sexually molested as a kid. He had a lot of stuff that he had to punch through just to be normal, you know what I mean? And not just be a prisoner of his past, and so he's in the midst of this, and he says, and he was telling me that he's going through counseling, and they're just dealing with stuff that's in his past, and he says, Frank, he goes, they're digging up stuff that I've just buried, and I don't want to, and I remember telling him, stop, just stop, look at you, he looked at me, and he says, if this is what I have to go through, so I can be a good father, and a good husband, and my kids will never have to go through what I went through, then this is what I'm going to do. See, my counsel to him was to run from the battle. He knew that he had to fight. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear means to run from the battle. You don't run from the battles. What battles? Battles of dealing with your past and your hurt and your pain. Entering into the, you know, he's a wonderful counselor. You know, God desires truth in the innermost being. Do you know God wants you to deal with truth with yourself and to bring healing in your past, your present, and your future? I mean, God has not given you a spirit of fear. And I saw this guy and he was going through it and there was a courage in him. Like, if this is what I got to do, then this is what I'm going to do. I loved it. Has God ever asked you to do something that you just didn't want to do? Maybe you're fighting with an addiction. There's so many courageous people that meet here on Tuesdays with AA. People that are taking on their addictions head on because it's the right thing to do, and if they don't, their life and everybody around them just implodes. And God's not giving them a fear, but of power, right? To enter into that. Hey, maybe you're here this morning and you're afraid in a friendship. Maybe you have a friend that's making decisions that you know is leading that person to a bad place that's destroying themselves. Alcohol, drugs, maybe in a bad relationship. And maybe you're going, I'm afraid for them. I'm afraid for them, right? And maybe God's prompting you to have a conversation and you're afraid to do it. Maybe, right? Maybe some of you in here are afraid in your marriage. I don't know. Maybe there's a conversation that needs to be had in your marriage, but you're afraid to have it, and just things keep going on, and you just keep watching TV and not working on your marriage. Maybe you're afraid to address issues, afraid of what might happen. I don't know, right? You guys, in your marriage, if you're married today, you got three choices. You know what they are? Punch out, stay in it and be miserable, or roll up your sleeves and make it better. It takes two. My roommate, Frankie, goes, I got to be as healthy as I could possibly be so I can enter this marriage and not bring in all my baggage. Right? You guys, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is not of the Lord. We don't run from the battle. That's just not God's thing, right? Man, maybe you're parenting. You're here today, and you're just afraid in parenting. Join the club, right? Maybe you're afraid of sharing your faith. Maybe you're afraid of trusting God with wealth. It goes on and on and on and on. It's just a part of our life. For every day of the year, God says, do not be afraid or fear not. God has not given you a spirit of fear. So fear doesn't come from God. FYI, I just want to tell you that. Fear doesn't come from God. Wimping out or being a coward doesn't come from God. It's not from the Spirit of God that dwells within you. That's not His Spirit. You want to take a note with me this morning? Write this note, this note down. God has not given you a spirit of fear to run from the battle. And God never leads you to wimp out. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what, people? Power. Power. That's note number four. Write that down. God gives you power for the battle. So He's telling you don't run, and then He gives you power to stick it out. What power has God given you? You know, Jesus does come. And He is born in Bethlehem, and He is raised in Nazareth, and He does begin His ministry. And all the prophecies of Messiah that no other religion can do, of all the religions on planet Earth, this one, historically accurate, archaeologically accurate, geographically accurate, prophetically unbelievable. Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of Scripture, and He is. It's the truth, okay? Jesus says, unless you're born again, you can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, as the Spirit of God blows, He needs to come and dwell in your life. Jesus speaks of the Spirit of God coming upon you. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. For those of you that are in here that have said yes to Jesus Christ, the Bible calls you born again or born anew or born from above. And in the power, this Holy Spirit that Jesus speaks of, Jesus talks about it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And He says, and wait in Jerusalem until power comes upon you. That word is actually dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite. You ever seen dynamite go off? Imagine dynamite coming and dwelling inside of you. Great verse. Love this verse. Romans 8, 14 through 16. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God, the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. Notice that? Fear again. I get you have fear. My Spirit comes in you, and it's not leading you to fear. But you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Here's the great verse. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Something crazy happens when you accept Christ. And actually, the sequence of salvation is found in Ephesians 1:13. I love this. In Him, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you're sealed with Him in the Holy Spirit of promise. After hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believing, you're sealed in the Spirit of truth. You're sealed in the promise of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. People, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. Well, what kind of power are we talking about? The same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The same power that parts the Red Sea, the same power. It's not by might, but not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's by the Spirit of God. God has not given you a spirit of fear to run from the battle, but God actually has given all of us in here a spirit of power to fight, to enter into the battle. The Holy Spirit is with you, Jesus says, and will be in you. That was in His last sermon He gave His disciples before He went to the cross. My Spirit's with you, but will be in you. Do you know that God's not giving you a spirit of fear? It's not from God. I love this verse. But of power, power, power. In love. Do you know what tempers power? Love. Love. God gives you a spirit of love Really? Really? There's a note for you, note five. Love. The power to love. Jesus says, love your enemies. I don't think so. Jesus says, love your enemies. Love. Agape. Unconditional love. For God so agaped the world, he gave his only son. It's unconditional love. To ask God to fill you with a love for other people that's your enemies is from heaven. God has not given you a spirit of fear. It's not of God. He gives you power in his spirit. And in the spirit of God dwelling within you, he gives you power to love like you had no idea. To love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Doesn't the world need more of this love? God gives you the power to love. Okay. Do you like this verse? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God, right, has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power to live out what God calls you to do. Love. Love, man. And here's the last one. I love this one. Sound mind. God gives you a sound mind for the battle. Wisdom from the Holy Spirit to wield power and love. Oh my goodness, think about this. You've got power, it's tempered by love, and it works beautifully. And then God gives you a spirit of sound thinking to wield power and love in any and every circumstance. This is from God. Wisdom for the battle. Wisdom for the battle. Have you noticed that there's not much wisdom in the world these days? There are so many basic things that are now being questioned. Wisdom. Wisdom. You guys, this is over any human wisdom. God is over any human wisdom. The Spirit of God working with the Word of God as you engage in any circumstance that you have and in the Holy Spirit. I love this verse. There's wisdom in the counsel of many. Man, when you get a bunch of godly people together and you're looking at this and you're praying with it and the Spirit of God is at work, you begin seeing where God's at work and where God is moving. Sound mind, sound thinking to wield this power. This is of God. So God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Look at this package. Isn't this a beautiful package? I love this verse. It means so much to me. I speak it into my life. This is who I am. The Holy Spirit has come inside of me, and he hasn't given me a spirit of fear. Sometimes you just want to run from the battle. You ever want to run from the battle? And you pray about it? Fear. Power. Power. Love. You know, if you speak the truth without love, you're wrong. If you speak love without truth, you're wrong. You speak truth with love. That's the way of Jesus. The Spirit tempers us. The Spirit of God that dwells within you, after hearing the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in the Holy Spirit of promise. It's an unbreakable seal. Jesus says, unless you're born again of the Spirit, you're not entering the kingdom of heaven. You know, that girl asked me at Saddleback, she goes, you're not one of those born again Christians, are you? I went, is there any other kind? Jesus says, unless you're not born of the Spirit, you're not going to heaven. Sounds important to me. Do you know when the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, his Spirit bears witness with your spirit, you're a child of God? When the Spirit of God comes inside of you, it's not a spirit to run from the battle, but to engage in the battle. He gives you a spirit of power. He gives you a spirit of love, and he gives you a spirit of sound thinking. With the Spirit of God works with the Word of God. They'll never contradict one another. God gives you wisdom to engage in any and every conflict. Look at the first Christmas as God's Spirit fell upon the people to do his will. with Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were afraid, but the Holy Spirit was upon them. Zechariah and Elizabeth were bold, they were loving, and they were sensible. Mary, she was afraid, but how did she treat her parents? How did she tell everybody? How do I say yes to this? I've got a lot of explaining to do. Shh, don't be afraid. Okay. How do I even enter into any conversation with this? And I'm engaged. She entered that not in fear. She came at it with power. She was loving. And she had sound thinking through the whole thing. Look at that. Mom, I know you're angry. Dad, I know. Hey, guys, it's the Lord, right? Sure it is. It is, right? Joseph, that was a tough day, people, okay? And we'll talk, we'll talk about them in detail. Joseph, the Spirit was upon him. And he didn't run from Mary or run from this. He's going to be the stepdad of the Messiah. Okay? Power, loving, sound thinking. Sound thinking. It's the way of the Lord. How about you? What are you battling with right now? Are you afraid? Pastor Frank, I'm not even want to. I'd like to just hop on a spaceship and get off planet Earth for the year of 2024. Stop the world. I want to get off. I get it. I want to run from the battle. You know, man, maybe the better thing to do is to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may stand firm in the evil day. Yes. Man, the Lord hasn't given you a spirit to run from the battle, but he's given you a spirit of power. Okay, Lord, so let's hit this year, right? Love. You know what? Was there a lot of love in this year? I pray that you brought love into your Thanksgiving table, into your family. Sound thinking, man, trying to get a handle on all of this. Let the Spirit of God work with you. You guys, looks like you're going to make it through 2024. Yay! Looks like you might make it. I'm looking bad. I don't want this year. Hey, man, I think, you know what? God's going to do amazing things this year in 2024. And he has, and he is, and he's continuing to do it. God has not forsaken you. God is with you, people. You're fine. I want you to be people of courage and strength, right? God wants you every day. That means today he has a verse for you. Do not be afraid. Do you know God has a Bible verse for you tomorrow? Fear not. That's Monday. You know on Tuesday God has a Bible verse for you? You know what it is? Fear not. On Wednesday, don't be afraid. 365 times in your Bible. One for each day. You know what God does not want from you is to run away. You guys, to be courageous in your faith, to walk with Jesus. We'll make it. We'll make it all the way into eternity. Amen? Amen? Whatever it is, you know what? You guys, maybe if there's just take Jesus and whatever it is you got to deal with, go for it. Hit it. That's the point. So watch. So, hey guys, I don't know, get a chance this week. Watch the Netflix movie on Mary. Tell me what you think about it. So I'm a little scared, you know. Hollywood really has a tendency to mess these things up pretty bad. And even, hey, I love The Chosens, but there's some that are cringe. They're bad. I mean, he's my own brother, Dallas Jenkins, right, in Christ. Even we don't totally get it biblically accurate. So I'm a little afraid, but no matter what, we'll go through the real ones. We'll take a hard look at who these people are next week. Because these people, I want them to be an encouragement to you. Okay, last verse. Can you guys memorize that verse for me? For the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Let's say it again. Okay, now let's yell it. You ready? One, two, three. Amen. Stir that verse into your life. Put your hand on your shoulder and speak that into you this week. And whenever it is what you're dealing with, put it on. There are some amazing, courageous people in this room that are going through incredible battles, and their faith is just mind-blowing. You guys are warriors in this room. Father, I thank you for my brothers. I thank you for my sisters. I thank you, God, for those of us in this room, these seasoned soldiers that have walked with you for many years. And Lord, these young rookies that are just out of boot camp. Lord, here we all are, and we're in this battle of faith. And Lord, fear is all around us. This world is hard. As you said, Jesus, in this world we will experience trials and troubles. Tribulations. But take courage, you say, for you've overcome this world. Hey, Lord, we agree. This world's hard. There are so many times, God, we just want to run. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to stand firm, to trust in the Lord with all our heart. That we don't lean on our own understanding. We acknowledge you in all our ways. We stand firm in the evil day. There's no running here. Teach us, Jesus. We pray this for your glory, and we pray this in your name. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen.